Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape. Oh, welcome to From Carpool to College. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Horitz.
And today we're going to be talking about big schools versus small schools, small size versus large size. This is a topic that was brought up by one of our listeners, Lisa Tubbs. Hey, Lisa, thank you. Thank you for listening and supporting us. And also thank you for coming up with this great topic. But before we start, I do have a disclaimer. So this episode is not going to be an attack on your alma mater. If you loved your big university, awesome. If you loved your small liberal arts college, good for you. But that was your developmental moment, not your kids at age 16, 17, or 18. And this is where families, we feel, are getting tripped up. When people talk about big versus small, it does turn into branding, it turns into nostalgia, it turns into our own bias set and our own experiences getting in the way. So football games, rah-rah, seminar tables, city energy, or tight-knit quads, that's not necessarily what we're going to be talking about. Because the college size is not an aesthetic choice. It's really a structural choice, and we're going to go through that today. Think about the structure. Is the structure going to support your kids' current level of executive functioning, of their emotional regulation, or their identity development? Or will the size of the school actually expose those gaps, right? So some students can walk onto a 40,000 student campus, you know, big size campus, and build their own scaffolding and be super successful. Some are going to need a little more visibility and accountability. So while others are going to need space to experiment without being known too quickly. So it's not really about what school is better. It's about alignment, which is what we are all about at Academic Mentoring. Because the right environment doesn't just educate your kid, it stabilizes them. It stretches them and it supports their transition into adulthood. So today we're going to separate nostalgia and bias from structure. We're going to start with the concrete realities. So we're going to start with like class size, advising systems, access, and then we're going to layer in some developmental psychology factors. So you can stop asking about what school, big or little, which is most impressive, but really want to ask what structure supports your kid right now. That's what we're reframing your question, Lisa. So Tara's going to lead us off and she's going to start with, hey Tara, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm caffeinated and ready for the snowstorm. There's a big snowstorm in Jersey today. So we're hunkered down.
We are.
We're hunkered down in our satellite studios today.
That's right. Thank goodness for technology, right?
Oh my gosh. Truly, truly. So Tara, can you talk a little bit about the large universities for us, for our listeners? Go over the goods.
Okay. So these are your bigger schools, right? So the enrollment can range between 15 all the way up to 50,000 plus undergraduates. Really, really big schools. That actually scares me a little because...
Why does it scare you?
Well, it's exciting and it scares me in the same sentence, I'll say. Because I went to a few schools, undergrad and then grad, and they were both smaller. And I've been obviously on campuses of larger universities. There's so much there. It's a lot. But it is very exciting. It's just that they are really big. They're their own, you know, towns within set on a campus, right?
Let's go Mountaineers, West Virginia University.
That's right.
Let's talk about bias and nostalgia.
That's right. And you know, some of those, Tracy, some of those courses can have, and this is very common, 100, you know, to 400 students.
Yeah, in a class.
And, you know, those large like lecture halls where sometimes they don't even have all the seating. So the kids are listening or they're in the hallways taking the class. I've heard of this, and I kid you not, they will sometimes just be overflowing with students, but they're larger lectures, and sometimes they're led by a TA, teaching assistant,
Yeah, the graduate student,
the grad
sure.
assistant, and it's just a different environment. So students who are attending these larger universities, they often have to take the initiative, right? In terms of if they need help with something, if they are in need to speak with their professor about whatever, if they've missed a class, or if they have an advisor they need to see for picking their next classes. But it's much more needs to come from the student, because at times with these bigger schools, the student is a little bit more of just, I don't want to say just a number, but they can get lost in the shuffle, right?
Sure.
And some of the larger schools, I'm just thinking of locally, some of our schools in New Jersey, one in particular I'm thinking of, but they have multiple colleges.
We try not to say names of
Right,
school.
right, right, right. But when you say you're going to
Yes.
that university, the follow-up question is always, oh, which college? Which school within that university? Because there's
Right.
several, and they can span over several towns even, different locations. And another good thing, or another thing about the large universities, and I'll say that this can be a good thing, or it can be a little bit much for some students. It really depends. But there are so many organizations for students, right? And different types of clubs and outlets and different ways that students can figure out who they are. Tons and tons and tons of opportunities in a larger university versus, say, a smaller one. So you have the lots of major options, right? Including those niche ones that we talked about in our other episode. There's a huge alumni network. In fact, I was just on a social media group, and one of the questions that was posed by the parents were, my student, it was accepted to this business school and that business school. Which one should they go to if it means there's not much difference in price? And the question was answered with tons of people saying that the alumni network is much bigger at this school, even though this other school is closer to you. And then they followed up with the little slogan that is said, if you go to that school, which we're not going to get into, but what's that?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that the alumni networks are huge
Yes.
for those bigger schools, and that could really be so beneficial in terms of job placement and opportunities, and recruiting. And then just like the energy of a larger school, the football games, the different events that are happening, whether they're fundraisers or sporting events, they're widely known, and it just creates that sense of community, even though it is a bigger environment. So the demands of a bigger school are, you really have to advocate for yourself as a student. You have to kind of navigate through and learn lots of different skills in terms of where you need to be, how you need to get there. The comfort that comes with that can be challenging. And I would say that you have to know that at times you are a number, right? And your professors may not know you by your first name, versus a smaller school.
Right.
So,
And then just the bureaucracy of it, like the red tape of registering for classes.
right,
The red
exactly.
tape of getting an email answered in a timely manner.
You have to really, the trade-off of, I would say, going to that bigger school is you do have to almost speak up, right? Make your voice heard in different ways. So the big like rah-rah schools, right? Those bigger schools. And then you can imagine with the smaller colleges, right? We're going to have obviously the smaller enrollment. So when there's less people on campus and you have your professors, they might recognize you more. They may be able to offer you some more opportunities in terms of internships or some sort of program that you can work on that wouldn't be offered, or your chances of getting an opportunity like that would be less in a bigger school. The class sizes are small, and that can be very, very important for some students, especially depending on your major, right? So if we're talking 15 to 25 students per class, and yeah, it's hard to be invisible, and it's just more hands-on, small group work. There are opportunities for you to network much easier if you are in that smaller setting. You have ways that you can work with your professors, right? And you have a smaller campus, which means that you're going to get to know everybody. Now, that is one of the things that had come up recently in working with our last group of clients in our last cycle, was some of them felt that going to certain schools would feel very much like they had never left high school, right? It was like 13th grade.
Yeah, 13th grade.
And that was great for some, but others just had a bad taste in their mouth and they did not want that at all. And they thought that wasn't what college should be about. So it is different for everyone, but it can create a similar sentiment, similar feeling, if you will, of almost like never leaving high school. So with the smaller schools, and I know Tracy, you have some, you do have some experience with your children, right? And going to a little bit of a smaller school, but there is that accountability. So students are being held accountable a little bit more. The professors will recognize if a student has missed class, or I'll just say in a positive way too, if a student is standing out and they'll recognize them as a chance for, maybe participating in some sort of program or something that is in their field of study. So building those relationships can also be very valuable when they go to graduate and for recommendations and career opportunities once that diploma has been given to them. So I think that's really important. And then that network, right? The network of people who are in your dorm with you, who are in your classes with you, in your major, going for your field work, if you're involved in a certain major that's required. It does mean that everybody kind of knows everybody, and you can't really hide, right?
No.
And with that comes that, you have to have that social stamina, that social battery. And it doesn't mean that you have to be an extrovert and be on, in every way always out there, but you do have to kind of keep that in mind, that it is similar to that high school experience where everybody kind of knows everyone. And so when you're sitting in class, it also means for your child that participation is not only something that should be done, but it's most likely expected of you from your, not just your professors and any kind of TAs that might be in the classroom, but also of your peers. And so again, that no place to hide kind of mentality.
That's scary. There's no place to hide, kid. But that some of our kids need that. Some of our kids absolutely need that. And parents, think about where you are, where your boots are on the ground right now, and where your kid is right now. And think about, does your kid need structure? Does your kid need structure, or can they create their own structure? Because that is a big question of, can your kid run at a big school? or does your kid need the structure of a small school? So we're talking about those external frameworks, right? Doesn't necessarily, the big school, little school doesn't really change your kid. It just kind of amplifies where they are, which is interesting to think about.
It is. It really is.
So let's think about that shift to the more, the shift of developmental psychology, because in our academic mentoring practice and in our podcast, we are very student first. We're very child first. If you couldn't figure that out, we are not the typical how to get into XYZ college. We're about authenticity. We're about celebrating who your kid is and allowing for parents to, you know, giving you reliable resources and information so that your family can make an educated decision on those next steps. So saying that, here's a tricky thing to think about is the developmental psychology of college selection. So let's talk about executive functioning. How well does your kid plan independently, not relying on you, mom or dad, to make the calendar for them? Can they do that independently? And then from that, can they manage their time? Do they have to be told to sit and do their homework right now? Or do they already just take care of it? So again, through big school, smaller school, how well can your kid initiate tasks, right? Starting things on their own. How well will they self-monitor, knowing, not procrastinating, not putting things off? How will they follow through? So in a large campus, we're talking about a lot of freedoms. We're talking about less guardrails, less bumper bowling, if you will. And a large campus is, you can kind of drift a little more quietly if that could be an issue, and failure could go unnoticed a lot longer than if your failure and drifting was at a smaller college. So the small campus reality is your visibility does increase your accountability. So you do have that external framework. The faculty will notice disengagement sooner, and you do have less, you're less anonymous, if you will, at a smaller campus. So these are things that parents, as you're thinking about your kid right now, whether they're in middle school or they're in high school, think about their academic fitness, think about their personalities, think about, they're in the middle of identity formation. They're in the middle of figuring out who they are and what's up. They're experimenting. They're trying to, piece together pieces, parts, modeling different behaviors. And how does that translate big school, little school? So a large campus, it's easier to reinvent yourself. So much easier to reinvent yourself. There's more peer groups. You can kind of try and be a little more pluralistic in your cliques. I used to see here's my bias, right? So this is, and parents, we need to think about this too, because as you're listening to us, you're thinking about your own experience, and that's normal. But you have to know that that's your experience and that's your bias. So here's my bias and my experience in college. I had cliques of people all over the place. I had my cool, like, bohemian friends who I would hang out at the coffee shop and, like, read poetry with. But then I had the keg stands in the pit at West Virginia, the home games, covered in mud, just disgustingness and rowdy partying. I had all these different cliques. And so large campus, you're going to have a little more social kind of plurality, if you will. But in a smaller campus, it is, the social roles will form quickly. It is harder to reset a little bit. I can tell you that my son, who went to a small school, who I love this small school, but it was a D1 school. So they had all D1 athletics, which meant great rowdy games, high energy games. But if it's only 1,800 students and there are a lot of D1 athletes, you have a great disparity between the popular jocks and everybody else. So you do have to think about the social dynamics of those schools. and think, can your kid, does your kid thrive in visibility, or would they prefer to kind of have that observational distance? How is their emotional regulation? Is there an anxiety history? Has your kid wrangled through depression? Because these are other considerations, because in large schools they might disengage. I mean, in small schools they may disengage also, but you're going to find out a lot sooner if they're at a smaller school. And you're going to have a lot more direct access to supports at a smaller school than you would at a larger school. And I'm telling you, I'm coming from experience on this one. So the campus is kind of the structure that can help stabilize or destabilize, right? So there's a lot. And we talked a little bit about the social piece of this. And Tara, you're quite a social butterfly. So you want to talk a little bit about the large campus and small campus social vibe?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's more opportunity in a larger campus, right? So, if you feel that, oh, you're looking for your people, and there's, or your child, I should say, is looking for their people, I feel that there is a chance that they can, if they don't find it, okay, they can go to another group, and it would be much easier to socially reset than if you're in that small group, right? Similar to high school. Once you're in that little group, you're kind of stuck there, right? So with the large campus, it does feel that way. And I've heard someone use like a little analogy and saying like with a larger campus, I can finally breathe. And with a smaller campus, I feel like I'm being suffocated, right? And so not everybody will feel that way. Some people may feel with a smaller campus that they can quickly find their group of people and stay there. But I do understand that with a bigger, more opportunities to find so many different people, right? Coming from all over. The larger campus would provide that. And then also with a small campus, or now moving to like the smaller one, I think that you find when you do find your group, it can those friendships can run really deep, right? And those connections that you make with people. So, in growing up, we know that friendships are so difficult at times, and it's just a matter of what's going to work. And we're not even talking just about friendships, but also groups and organizations and cohorts and even your dorm rooms and your floors and whatnot. So there's so many different possibilities, and I think if you just kind of weigh the differences between the large and small, you'll see that it can be challenging with that smaller environment. So it's a matter of, can your child recharge if they're in a crowded big group? Do they need that really deep connection? And what worked for them, I will also say this, what worked for them in high school isn't always going to carry through all 4 years of college because they're still growing and trying to figure out who they are. So I think when we talk about all of these things too, between the big schools and the small schools, one point that I want to make before I forget it is that it's you do want to know as much as you can, but a little part of it is like you got to stop at some point and just also see what happens when they get there, right? So what I mean by that is you can't, it's not so prescriptive that, okay, this is going to work for my kid. They're going to go here. This is going to happen because there are so many variables. But Tracy, when it comes to making like connections, right? So those pipelines, is it easier with the large schools or is it harder?
Depends on the kid. Totally, it
Okay.
depends. I think it depends on the kid. But at
Yeah.
least us having a conversation about the structure, like what structures are in place at these schools, and
Yeah.
it's really this is, you know, this is about fit. This is about in work and career counseling, we call it like person environment fit. This is about student fit with the structure of the college. So for example, like just like academically, let's say a larger school, like they have R1 research schools, right? Those are nationally accredited, internationally known schools, and there's a high volume of research for academics in the larger schools. Rather, in the smaller schools, you still have opportunities for research, but the volume is not as robust as in a larger school. And maybe in the large school, you can have a little more specialty niche research versus a smaller school. But then again, I mean, it really depends on the small school. I feel like, you know, it can be, the outcomes are not really driven by big school, little school, large university, small college campus, really. It's driven by the student's agency. It's driven by what your kid, how they will engage and flourish in that setting, and that structure will support it. So it's really a function of who your kid is. It's so funny because my bias is so thick right now that I have experience as a student who's transferred. I went to a small school first and then transferred to a large school undergrad. So I have seen both, and I have seen the value in both, and I have seen the detriment in both. So really it depends on your kid. To talk quickly about, you know, financial sticker price, Tara, we know that state schools are bound by, you know, large state schools are bound by the rules and regulations that are, you know, it's much more rigid. And we have our smaller schools, our smaller independent schools have a little more flexibility when it comes to financial aid packages. But we know that, you know, if your kid is not going to last in that school, then certainly that's going to be the most expensive one, because you'll be paying for it without having that degree. But I want to task parents to think about some questions when we're looking at large schools versus small schools. And again, Lisa, our listener, great, great topic to talk about. So families, can your kid get those required classes on time? Are they offered where it's, you know, is it a spring only class and then your kid is behind a semester because they don't get the class? Or what happens if they change majors? Are they going to be behind? Are they going to graduate in 4 years? Again, we want a bachelor's degree in 4 years. Is your advising proactive or is it student initiated? Is in a small school, you're going to have it very much proactive and you're going to know your advisor. In a larger school, it's going to be more student initiated. And if your kid doesn't have that task management executive functioning, they may miss out on advising, and next thing you know, they're not registered for the semester. So big school, small school, depends on your kid. And then how easy is it to access mental health supports? How accessible are professors in that first year? Are they all TAs? Are they all graduate students? You know, it depends. If they are, fine. But if your kid needs that one-on-one and that relationship, maybe a smaller school is for you. How about housing, right? So I know with Joey, with the College of Charleston, housing is, and as many schools, housing is not guaranteed all 4 years. So he had to go and look for off-campus housing as he became an upperclassman, which was fine. He did great. He's a beautiful, beautiful place. But as a parent, it was like, ooh, you're renting, here's a lease, and my kid is renting a house with four other people. So there's a lot of variables when parents are making these considerations with their kid for your family. So, but really a great, kind of a scary thing to consider, Tara, is our parents, our listeners need to ask, where is your kid right now? Is your kid finishing adolescence or is your kid emerging into adulthood? Because we know our kids have their own timelines. And if your kid is still finishing adolescence, you may want to consider a smaller school.
Right, exactly. And also the idea of, you know, whether or not you're choosing this, you're helping them to choose a school based on, you know, you're going to that school and just hoping and wishing that they will follow in your footsteps. And are they really ready to do that in either a small school or a larger school? So that's another thing to consider as well. I have friends who kids are wearing the gear from the school, and they're in elementary school, middle school.
Oh, I'm so guilty of that, Tara.
It's already scripted for them, which is great. You know, if that works for them, it's wonderful. But, you know, there's a little pressure there.
No, absolutely. And again, I'm like, I feel like I'm wearing a bad mom sash. But you know what? I unapologetically will say I love my alma mater. And I, neither one of my kids attended West Virginia University, where I went, and it was fine. Frankly, I don't think they could have handled it. I think they would have failed out because they just were not ready for that huge, big school vibe. Do my kids still wear West Virginia stuff? Absolutely, because they know that if it wasn't for West Virginia, I would not have met their dad, and they would be non-existent. So that is kind of the fun thing. But certainly, as we wrap up this discussion on, you know, big college campus or small campus, parents, if this stirred up more questions than answers, good. We don't want to stress you out, but that means that you're thinking structurally and you're thinking about your kid. So we want to encourage you to keep thinking about it. Keep listening to From Carpool to College. Visit academicmentoringllc.com if you need any kind of structured or individualized strategies. Certainly you could book a strategy session with Tara or me if you want that clarity instead of the chaos. We are here to help you in any way we can. So thank you for listening. We are Academic Mentoring. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
And I'm Tara Horitz.
And thanks for listening to this episode of From Carpool to College.
At Academic Mentoring LLC, we know every student's journey is deeply personal. College and career decisions can feel really overwhelming, and families often don't know where to start. That's where we come in, led by the great Tracy Amadeo, a professional educator for nearly three decades. We help families outsource the stress while keeping the heart of the process intact. We take the time to understand each student's unique timeline, their goals, and the family's needs, guiding you toward confident, informed decisions. With our trusted expertise and care, you're not alone on this journey. AcademicMentoringLLC.com, because their journey matters.